You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Elections in Europe. Center left, center right. Spain. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. And recently, his venture to Madrid, said to be a happening place in Bloomberg's reporting, great restaurants, great hotels, money coming in from Latin America for investment. The scene of a national election between the Socialist Party, now in authority in the parliament, and two parties representing the center right. The Popular Party, led by a man named Feijo, and the party that was expected to participate in the success of the Popular Party, the Vox Party. But the results turned out to be a tie. Joe, a very good evening to you. The tie was not apparent to anyone. So there's morning after analysis. Right now, the tie means that no one part of the divide, the Socialist versus the Popular Party, have enough to command the majority in the parliament. Do you expect another election to solve this, or is this going to carry on in a minority government? Is that possible? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I think that it's definitely possible that Spain could go to another election soon. There is recent history of this. Something similar happened in 2019, the last time they had a round of national elections, where the first one earlier in the year was inconclusive. It produced a hung parliament. And so they ended up going back to the polls later in the year to produce the parliament that they've had for the past 4 years. And I think that this is a really interesting moment in Spanish politics, because it's true that no one won the election in terms of having enough numbers in the parliament to be able to form a majority governing coalition. But within that, there were some really important shifts. And I think that a big one was the revival of the center-right Popular Party, which had been in and out of power many times in the decades since Spain returned to democracy in the 1970s, and had really been on the back foot after the 2019 election. They had been the big losers 4 years ago. This year, they have really revived themselves. I think they were the plurality finisher here in terms of seats in the parliament, with 136 out of the 350-seat parliament, compared to 122 seats for the incumbent Socialist Party of Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. Unfortunately, for the conservatives, they didn't quite win enough to be able to form a government. But I think that they are definitely on track, especially if there is going to be a second election at some point in the coming months to try to resolve this issue. I suspect that they would be in a good position to try to develop on some of the gains that they made this time around. I mean, making allowance for the fact that clearly these elections are very unpredictable.
Spain is part of the story of the EU, and especially in the Mediterranean basis. Greece and Italy are also part of the EU and have been troubled, at least since the Great Recession of 2008-2009, to recover their status in the world of finance and dealing with the euro. However, My reading is that Madrid's doing very well. Is the rest of the country still struggling under the socialist flat growth regime?
Well, I think the economy was sort of an issue, and it wasn't an issue in the election. I think that it was an issue in the sense that clearly a lot of opinion surveys in the run-up to the election suggested that the economy was really at the top of voters' minds. You know, people were very unhappy about inflation. You know, the inflation rate has come down to below 2%, but the legacy of higher prices is still affecting people in their daily lives. People were very concerned about the unemployment, which continues to linger well into the double digits. And yet the campaign itself was not directly about the economy. I think you tended to have much more discussion and debate about, you know, what you could call culture issues, which in Spain, some of it has to do with some of the culture war issues we're familiar with in the English-speaking world, you know, transgender issues, immigration, that sort of thing. But also in Spain, national unity is very important. You know, there's a lot of resistance to the regional separatist movements that they have in places such as Catalonia or the Basque Country. And one criticism of the incumbent Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez of the socialist left is that they had been too forgiving of some of the separatism. And so that emerged as a big cultural dividing line here. And I suspect it will continue to be a dominant factor in Spanish politics, because, you know, certainly if Pedro Sanchez now wants to try to cobble together a coalition to stay in power, even though he was not the top vote getter, he would have to do it with the help of some of these regional separatist parties in parliament to help, you know, help keep his government going. And that would be very unpopular, and I think would end up stoking some of the cultural complaints against him that really animated the conservatives in the first place.
You report, Joe, this is before the election when you published your column, middle of the month, that the Sanchez government was looking to use what you'd have to say is smear tactics, associating the Popular Party, and Mr. Feijo with Franco. What does that mean to the people in Spain today? Because, you know, I would say a vast majority of the population wasn't alive for Franco.
Well, I mean, the key issue here was actually another party on the far right of the political spectrum called Vox. And you saw Pedro Sanchez, the socialists, and also the far left campaigning very aggressively against Vox and trying to charge that the much bigger Popular Party on the center right would have to bring Vox into a coalition to form a government. And so that was part of the left-wing case against the right in general. And so their complaint about Vox was, you know, they alleged that it is a Francoist party, that a lot of its members or leaders are sort of neo-Francoists, you know, that would kind of harken back to the very, you know, difficult period of Spain's dictatorship in the 20th century, that somehow it would be a threat to democracy, that it would be dangerous for Spain to give any kind of quarter to the far right. And that resonated abroad as well, because I think there was a tendency to view Vox through the lens of a bunch of these other right-wing populist parties that have sprung up around Europe, whether it's Prime Minister Giorgio Meloni's Brothers of Italy in that country, whether it's Marine Le Pen's National Rally in France, the Alternative for Germany in that country. But I think that, you know, what has happened in Spain, first off, Vox is a different kind of party. Unlike the others in Europe, it isn't really an anti-immigrant party in the way that anti-immigration sentiment animates a lot of these other parties of the right in Europe. It isn't even really an anti-European Union or anti-Euro party. It really has its origins as a national unity party. In fact, one of their big causes when they first got going was wanting to remove the powers of regional governments in Spain and centralize more power for the sake of national unity. And so I think that one of the things that's happening here is that, first off, despite the attempt by the left to scare voters about Vox, it doesn't completely seem to have worked, because this did deny the right-wing coalition a majority, but they still gained a lot of ground, especially the Popular Party. But at the same time, Vox itself lost seats. It had won 52 seats 4 years ago. It's now down to around 39, I think. No, more than that. They lost about 20 seats. So clearly, they appear to have hit a high watermark of sorts 4 years ago. And that makes you wonder if voters will continue to be frightened of them in the way that some voters at the margin might have been nervous about them in this most recent election.
Is there a trend in Europe, Joe, for center-right? That the center-left is dominating South America, which is Spanish-speaking, except for the Portuguese part. Is there a trend, Italy, Greece, Spain, parts of the Northern Europe, is there anything, or is it just which way the wind blows?
Well, I think that what's been interesting about Spain and Greece is that you've had this revival of what had been the old mainstream parties of the center-right. And that's kind of different from what's been happening in other parts of Europe, where those old center-right parties have been sort of replaced by these more far-right parties. And so that makes these very interesting cases to follow moving forward, because if the Popular Party can keep up the momentum that it developed this time around, that will suggest that actually there is still life left in center-right centrism. And the formula will be a combination of focusing on economic growth and prosperity and economic opportunity, but then also being strategic about the culture wars and sort of picking culture issues that play to the traditional one nation strengths of these parties without being unduly aggressive or alienating by picking niche fights that are of interest to small numbers of conservative voters, but don't resonate more broadly.
Prime Minister Sanchez remains in office pending a new election or his ability to form a minority government with other parties. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, back from Madrid, and we're going to British politics matters and something very strange called ULEZ. Imagine the fate of a nation turning on something spelled ULEZ. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.